Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lav. We're here at the Players Championship, and Rex, it was not a perfect round of golf from Ludvig Åberg, unlike what he fired on Friday with that 63, but he did increase his lead from two shots to three. A little bit of drama on that 18th hole on Saturday made certainly that final round a little bit more interesting.
That opening song is such a banger.
It is.
I have it in my head. I go to sleep to
it. It's like a 75% approval rating on that song.
Really?
Yes. 25% like the previous song, but
I like the previous song. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anyone liked the previous song.
Okay. I did.
That's interesting. I will say, I feel like tomorrow, and I was kind of workshopping this idea, it's going to be a coronation or a collapse, right? One of those two things for Luke. That's fair enough. It only seems like there's two outcomes, and I'm leaning towards coronation twofold. One, which you just pointed out, the way he kind of finished up the round. I'm going to go to the way he started the round, through eight holes. He's won over par. If you're going to win a tournament like this, if you're going to win on a big stage like this, you're going to face some adversity. You're going to find yourself getting punched in the face. And the winner normally is the one that handles that the best. And he handled it really well. He gets a birdie on nine, gets the ship turned around, really starts to play well. I love the way he finished up the round. We can talk about 18.
I don't know about that.
I mean, 16, 17, and 18 clearly were disappointed to him. But I'm going to point out the last eight players who played 18, six over par. It's not as though that hole was playing easy. Oh, wow. So I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for him. But I think if you look at as a whole, the golf course was drying out. It was getting a little bit more crispy. And I just loved the way he turned things around and kept moving forward. I'm also going to go, he's doing the one thing that I think historically you have to do well if you're going to win here at TPC Sawgrass. He's killing the par fives. He's 11 under on the par fives. Look at what Rory did last year to win here. He was 8 under for the week. Scotty the year before was 10 under. So he's doing all of the little things well, and he's absolutely striping the golf ball.
Yeah, he made three eagles on the par fives in about a 27, 28 hole span. Obviously the big shot on Saturday was the eagle on 11. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect drive, 230, piped it to about 12, 15 feet, poured in the putt. That was, however, Rex, the last shot that he gained on the field. Missed mm-hmm. opportunities on 12, a drivable par four. 16, right. He hit it within just left of the green, sort of flubbed his chip shot. Actually did well to get down in two putts from there just for a disappointing
par. You're disappointed he didn't pull away more from the field. Is that what you're telling me?
I think Ludvig Åberg is disappointed.
Probably, because he's a perfectionist.
More from the field. But like you think about 12, you think about 16, the par five that everyone was attacking. 17, he hit it inside 10 feet, unable to convert that birdie putt on 18. Once again, had 150 yards in on Friday. He thought it was the greatest drive I've ever seen in my life. He had only 140 yards in. On Saturday, he had 150, hits it to 25 feet. And as we mentioned, three putted from there, missing a 7-footer, which at least gave a glimmer of hope to the rest of the field. So yes, he increased his lead from two shots to three shots. He's probably just a little disappointed walking off the golf course thinking it's not 4, 5, or 6.
I mean, I'm sure he is disappointed. He just spoke about it in the press conference that yes, I kind of had mixed feelings coming up after that round, what I felt like I could have done on 16, 17, and 18. The storyteller in me is, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little happy that he didn't pull away.
This was a godsend that he yes. three-putted, if you were interested in any sort of Sunday drama.
And if he's leading by 4, 5, 6 strokes at this point, it's going to be hard to muster some sort of enthusiasm as it is going into this final round, simply because of how well he's playing. If he had a half dozen shot lead, I'm not quite sure how we're going to salvage that story.
I mean, for three shots, there at least I would say is I think Data Golf has been about 55%
really
chance to win this with. Yeah, I actually thought that was a little bit low, but I think they're factoring in sort of the brutality of the golf course, the penal nature.
It's getting more difficult
of the golf course. Certainly, you had that sort of purplish hue. I've been told. Obviously, I can't see that being colorblind, but it was brownish. It was purplish. We saw some good scoring, but that was predominantly in the morning and in the early afternoon as well. You look at what happened in the afternoon, with the exception of Michael Thorbjornsson, who again was teeing off significantly before those final groups, shooting a 67 on Saturday. A lot of the scores was done in the morning, guys posting the number, and all of a sudden they climbed by the end of the day. You're 6-7 shots off of the lead. I do love a point that Åberg made in his press conference on Saturday, basically saying if you're going to get punished if you don't execute, there's one way to play this golf course. You all of a sudden,
but
you just have to execute each and every shot or you're going to be brutally punished. You're going to be in the water, you're going to be in the trees, you're going to be a bunker. bogeys, doubles, triples. We saw it all. We saw it run the gamut on Saturday. That's pretty atypical. You think of major championships, you could have short hitters, you could have long hitters, you could have guys who are scramblers, great putters. This is just a knockdown, drag 'em, cold-blooded execution test. And I think that's what's so fun, because if Ludvig Åberg is not on his game on Sunday, he's going to get caught.
He is going to get caught. Now, recent history suggests he's not going to fall off his game that much, that I feel like he's going to have a Xander Schauffele day. I mean, Xander's day today really surprised me.
But it's not going to take much. Just one shot to double.
Absolutely not. And I mean, you look at the way the golf course is shaping up, and I promised myself, it was a bit of a New Year's resolution, that I wouldn't make fun of you for being colorblind. However, do me a favor, since you mentioned the purple here, pick up that hat that you bought. We went into the clubhouse today. We had to do a speaking engagement this morning for the folks at Comcast, who were very kind. And so we got to go in and shop in the store, and he bought a gray hat. Everybody, please comment in the comments
gray,
about his
green.
Gray hat.
That's a real who can say.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely not gray. It's definitely green. You're right. You don't have to be off on this golf course very much. We saw that at Xander Schauffele. I was stunned that Xander struggled a little bit. I'm sure we're going to talk about him a little while later, simply because of how well he drove the ball yesterday. 14 for 14 in fairways hit yesterday. And today, it didn't seem like he could do anything well. You're right. He could certainly stumble and stumble early, which is, I think, is what we kind of saw on Saturday. But I just have so much confidence, simply because when the swing is grooved, when that particular swing is grooved, I just can't figure out a way how it gets off.
I mean, it was spectacular, some of the tee shots that he hit. I was standing right behind the tee on 16 that Ludvig Åberg piped it right over the trees. Had about 170, 180 yards into the par five, just a majestic tee shot on 18. We're watching Smiley Kaufman reenact the tee shot on 18. He just hit it like literally in the middle of the pond, just a violent snap hook. Data Golf, our friends there, had about a two-shot penalty on average if you miss your tee shot on 18 to the left. It's essentially what Cam Young did. It's an automatic double because you are not crossing any lands. So you're just chalking up to a six. And so there is so much trouble, so much penalty for an errant shot. And yet Ludvig Åberg stood up on some of those tee shots and hit pure perfection. Tee shots that were really high in the air and would just have a little bit of draw at the apex. It wasn't like a slinger. It was simply falling left, has so much control of the golf ball, something that we had not seen early parts of the season. Certainly has it under control right now.
Smiley Kaufman just actually striped that shot. That was beautiful.
Yeah, good for him.
Did you see that? Yeah, I mean, that
good
was pretty
him.
In the darkness, no less. To your point, standing on that tee, that's kind of why I wanted to go back and look at how those final groups played 18, because it feels like I watched Brian Harman just make a mess of it. And then I watched Jacob Bridgman just make a mess of it. And one after the other, they all bailed out to the right. Because to your point, if you're left, it is pretty much a guaranteed double, at least in theory, at least in new trees, you can scramble out of it. The tee shot on 14, it's been either the hardest or the second hardest hole on the golf course.
Another one absolutely piped it.
Where you just don't have any bailout. That bunker left is dead. The mounds on the right are dead. It is Pete Dye at his absolute best, where he's just, he's demanding as a quality player, as a world-class player, you have to sit on this tee box and execute. And I don't doubt that there's going to be a moment tomorrow when I'm sure that Ludvig's going to find himself having to scramble a little bit and maybe not being quite perfect. That's why we call it golf. But when he's hitting it that well, it just seems to me the level of confidence he must have going into these particular shots. He doesn't see things the same way we do.
I will say I've never found Ludvig Åberg to be a particularly enlightening interview. I enjoyed him on Saturday. He had some open.
I'm going to need more on Sunday with the winners interview. Yes, I'm going to need a little bit more.
But I think he was open. I think he was honest. I think he was pretty transparent of what he was feeling, saying that he was going to be nervous, that he does think about winning. And I'm sure there are sports psychologists around the country who are wincing, who are, again, smacking palm to the forehead, just thinking about it. He's trying to embrace it is Ludvig. And he basically said anyone who's actively avoiding it or not thinking about it, like, what are you training for? Why are you investing so much time, energy, and effort into being one of the best players in the world if you are not thinking about it? To him, that's human. That's normal. That's natural. I loved what he said because, I mean, we've been covering this golf tournament together for a very long time. I'm not sure I've ever heard a player on Saturday night openly admit to thinking about it. It's usually the cliches, one shot at a time. Yes. I'm not thinking about something. We still got 18 holes to go. On this golf course, you really got to keep your head down because there's so much trouble. For someone to actually embrace it, talk about it, mention how nervous he's going to be, mention that he's thinking about winning and how it's going to feel. I found that really refreshing.
I'll go back to last year's Scottie Scheffler at the Open Championship, and he probably created some headlines he didn't intend to with that answer. I believe it was on Wednesday on his pre-tournament press conference where he was kind of asked about, in the moment of joy, when you win, when you're hoisting the trophy, how long can you hang on to that? And his take was essentially, it's fleeting. It's not very long.
That's 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be 2 minutes. I'm going to celebrate with my family, and then it's on to the next tournament. It's on to what I have to improve on next. What he leaned into, I think, is pretty much what Louvre was trying to put to words tonight. The idea that I just love the chase. I love being in the hunt. And yes, however it is you say it, maybe that sports psychologists don't want Louvre to particularly say it that way. But I think he was essentially sending the same message that Scotty is. The idea that I just love being in that arena. And we've talked about this endlessly, that you and I pointed out that how is he going to go to the Ryder Cup as a rookie, never having played in a major championship, and hold up under that pressure? He did. He held up under the pressure at the RSM Classic to win his first tour event. He did it at the Genesis Invitational to win a signature event. This seems like the easy next logical step.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some big game experience. He's been a contention at the Masters the last couple of years. You mentioned the Ryder Cup when he was just a few months removed from college. Think back to the European Tour event that he won just a couple of weeks prior to the Ryder Cup, really trying to put on in a final audition for Captain Luke Donald. All he did was went out and win the European Masters. When he won that RSM 61-61, his final round scoring
That's
average
a fun weekend.
On the PGA Tour ranks third among all players. So this is a guy who has big game experience. He's proven himself. He's won the signature event. He's won a regular event. He's won the European Tour. So even at the age of 26, Rex, it certainly does seem like a next step in his progression. How about the comfy pairing that he's going to be having on Sunday? An unexpected name, because yes, he shot a 74 in the opening round and has steadily climbed up the leaderboard with rounds of 65, 67. That is Michael Thorbjornsson, one of Ludvig Åberg's college rivals. How about saying that one?
College rival?
No, Ludvig Åberg.
Ludvig Åberg's college rival.
Michael Thorbjornsson. Yes, that is a tongue twister, but Thor, much has been expected of him, much like Ludvig, a year younger than Ludvig Åberg, started at Stanford. Ludvig was at PGA Tour University number one, automatically got his PGA Tour card. Michael Thorbjornsson, the same thing. What are you anticipating from young Thor on Sunday?
I think it is fun, and like this is kind of your neighborhood, so I should probably leave this to you, but North Florida has become the hot it spot for young professionals. And it's the TPC Sawgrass is the draw. The Global Home is the draw. That massive practice facility just outside the media center is the draw. It's going to be the first time that these two have been paired together at the Players Championship, not the first time they played TPC Sawgrass together. They've been on this golf course quite a bit. They really have a good relationship. It sounds like listening to Michael talk about sort of just how it seems as if Ludvig set the standard for a lot of these young players. He was the first one out of PGA Tour U. He was the proof of concept.
Showed him what's possible.
Absolutely. And so I think that part is going to be fun. I talked a lot about Michael at the beginning of the season as one of those young players that you felt like just was ready to take the turn. I felt like listening to him last year to finish up the season at the RSM Classic was enlightening, that he's had some ups and downs when it comes to injury. But when he's on, you see those flashes that made him and Ludvig 1 and 2 in college golf at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. They may not have been college rivals in the traditional sense of SEC foes, but Ludvig did say on Saturday night, it seemed like every single golf tournament that they were playing when he was playing for Texas Tech, he was playing against Michael Thorbjornsson. That's how it works in college golf. The number one player goes up against the number one player in the first couple of rounds. I had an opportunity to talk to Thor after he kicked away the tournament at the WM Phoenix Open. Keep in mind, he was leading that golf tournament, made eagle on 15, on 16, hit a juiced up 8-iron over the green, ended up making bogey. On 17, ended up pulling his tee shot left into the water, making bogey as well to kick away that tournament. But I loved what he said afterward to Michael Thorbjornsson. He said, I don't view this as failure. I view this as learning. And this is a player who had, again, a ton of college success. A lot was expected of him. He already has two runner-up finishes on the PGA Tour. That was in Punta Cana, also the John Deere Classic. He's dealt with some adversity, with some back issues that he had in his career as well. It would not surprise me, Rex, if he was a winner in 2026 and Michael Thorbjornsson.
It would surprise me if he's a winner tomorrow.
Exactly. It would surprise me.
That I steal the punchline side.
Yes, if he was going to upstage Ludvig Åberg and hold off a pretty good list of contenders as well, with Cam Young, Victor Hovland among those in the chase pack.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, I love the fact that a young player like that can look back at what happened at the WM Phoenix Open and learn from it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes you have to be convinced that what happened is going to help you in the long run. I don't know how many times I've had a tour player tell me you learn so much more in a loss than you ever do in a win. And that's why I went to Ludwig's adversity early in the round, because that's the part that's hard. That's what you're going to learn from. When you're sailing along, like he has done largely most of the week, that's the easy part. Just, you kind of want to go brainless. You want to just go out and keep sort of hitting and repeating. What you have to do is take those moments of adversity and apply them. It could be fun tomorrow. You're absolutely right. One or two holes in, we could end up with a couple of swings and we could end up with a real race.
So we have nine players who are separated by five shots. In that group, Matt Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, Brian Harman, Justin Thomas, Corey Connors, Xander Schauffele, who again shot 74 on Saturday while playing in the final group. What hope do you have for any of the players we have not previously mentioned?
I would be a little surprised. I know I mentioned it about Xander. I just think the expectations I had for him going into this round were, I know he's not just going to magically turn into 2027 Xander Schauffele, to 2024 Xander Schauffele, sorry, where he's going to win
in the future.
The future is Xander Schauffele.
He's probably going to be good at golf too.
Yeah, he's going to be good then too. But the guy that won two majors back in 2024, I know that's not going to happen. That's going to take some time. He and Chris Comer are still working through the swing changes. But the expectations were high after yesterday, and it was a little bit of a disappointment. But I will point to the fact that he kept grinding. The 74 was probably the best possible score he could have shot from some of the places he ended up with. I could see him making an early run. I'll keep going back to the idea, though. This is not the golf course that we saw early this morning. There was only three bogey-free rounds today. Scottie Scheffler had one of them. All of them came from the early starters. It's getting burnt. It's getting baked. It's getting purple, people tell you.
Yeah. However, if you are on your game, we have seen good numbers. We just saw Ludvig Åberg shoot 63 on Friday. We just saw Michael Thorbjørnsen shoot 65 on Friday. We've seen some good numbers, some 65s, some 66s, some 67s. It's possible, Rex, that if you are completely on your game, if you're hitting fairways, if you can get hot with the approach play, as we've seen Corey Connors, among others, sort of have stretches, it's not unreasonable to think that even in these difficult conditions, you can put up a 63, 64, 65. And again, get into the clubhouse and wait to see if any sort of calamity strikes. Either Ludvig Åberg, Michael Thorbjørnsen, Cam Young obviously looked like he was going to be in the final group before a double bogey on the final hole as well. So I don't necessarily rule out the possibility of a Victor Hovland going nuclear or Justin Thomas going nuclear. Corey Connors, if his putter cooperates, to go.
Justin Thomas struggled, but I can see that. I mean, I think, again, what he's been through.
Cam Young, I think, is a player who's capable of shooting.
He made a mess of 18, I guess, and to your point with the way Ludvig played 16, 17, and 18. That probably gives everybody in the field a bit of a paradigm of hope that at least if you can get maybe within a stroke or two, that maybe something great happens. And the best part about that finishing hole, the best part about that finishing stretch, you hear time and time again, you can play a 3-2-3 or 6-6-6. It can go either way.
One thing to watch on Sunday for me is going to be Ludvig Åberg's pace. He is so fast. One of the fastest players.
How did they get put on the clock on the five? Feet?
Because Xander Schauffele is incredibly slow.
And he was making a mess of things, to be fair.
He was making a mess of things, but he's also really ground to a halt as Xander Schauffele's pace of play. And when paired with Ludvig Åberg, you know it's not him. You know it's not Luda. Luda's not the slow one. That's the reason why they fell more than a hole behind on four, and we're told to pick it up on five. And so I'm very curious to see if Ludvig Åberg gets even faster. That's one of the tells that he said that he's nervous, has to work on his breathing, has to walk slower, has to take a little bit more time because he is as quick as anyone, Rex. But if he gets too fast, that's where I think you could see some of the issues pop up. This might be the first time in podcast history that we've covered a big tournament with Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy in the field making the cut, and we did not mention them because there's really not much to report. Scottie Scheffler had a good day. Shot 67. Rory McIlroy shot even par, much to be expected of them. Obviously, we'll hit them on the recap podcast on Sunday night. Who's your winner and at what score?
It's going to be Åberg. I think it's going to be a little bit closer coming down the stretch than probably it seems like right now, just based on what we've seen, not just from Åberg, for some of the players around him. You can get on runs, to your point, even when the golf course is baked and playing difficult like this. They were just showing Thorbjørnsen's card, and he had three or four birdies in a row on the front nine. He finished up strong. We've seen it time and time again.
You can really get going here if you are on, but you can also make a big number in a hurry.
I think Hoiberg finishes up. You look at everything he's doing well. It's not as though I was going to make the comparison of look at the way Hoiberg's doing it with his ball striking, just majestic, sublime ball striking. And then at one point it was Jacob Bridgman who was just behind him, who was only doing it with his putter. He's leading the field by almost 3 strokes over number two. He's gaining more, nearly 8 strokes on the greens. That's two vastly different ways of doing it. One of those ways holds up in the long term, and that's the way Ludvig's doing it.
It does feel like a bit of a coronation that's possible on Sunday.
Not a collapse, not the way it would have done.
I would have felt better had Ludvig taken care of 12, had he taken care of 16, had he taken care of 17, had he not three-putted from 25 feet on 18, had he stretched his lead to 4, 5, 6 shots, which was certainly possible about 45 minutes ago. Instead, I do think he'll win. I'm with you. I think it's going to get a little bit nervy. I think it's going to get a little bit dicey, but that's why I love this golf tournament. That's why I love this golf course. You really have to stand up and hit the shots. There's really no bailout. The atmosphere I thought was a little bit flat this afternoon, potentially owing to the fact that Scottie Scheffler and Roy McIlroy had come through about 5 or 6 hours before the final group did. It was sort of petered out by the time the final group got there. It's not going to be that way on Sunday.
You're calling it.
They're going to come out in full force. I'm expecting a tense atmosphere. And again, it's one of the great arenas in all of golf. You really just have to stand
16, 17, and 18. I can't believe there was a time not that long ago when people said that was gimmicky. Because right now, when you stand in that arena, you and I spend some time.
17 is certainly gimmicky. There's no doubt about it.
It can be, but I think you've come around to the idea that for a professional at that level who has an 8 or a 9 or even a pitching wedge in their hand, it shouldn't be. It should be just another shot that you have to execute like every other shot on this golf course, but it's not. It gets in their head.
It does get in their head. We'll see what unfolds on Sunday at the Players' Championship. Always one of the best days of the year. Rex and I will be back, not just on YouTube, but also doing the 52-minute made-for-TV linear edition on Sunday night. I'll be back home in my office in Nocatee.
I'll be in the courtyard. You'll
be
in my office.
You'll be in the Marriott at Jack's Beach doing this show. It's been a great week. Make sure you look for us on live from the Players' Championship on Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Golf Channel as well. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lav. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Have a great rest of your Players' Championship Sunday.